But this morning's message is actually for the younger generation. And I think this is something that we need to take a look at. And that is true, being examples, and we need to ask ourselves, how can we be examples even when we are younger? And the challenge is we must. Well, let's seek the Lord for His wisdom. Our Father, we pray that You will help us to understand the challenges that are here in our life, in our present circumstances. And we pray that You will teach us how we can look at the problems which are there and then find answers, solutions to these challenges which are obviously there. And so we pray that You will help us to come up with answers that will help us strengthen ourselves further for life, for ministry. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 this morning. And we're going to take a look at a text that is very, very relevant to us, especially for the younger generation. Well, let's take a look. Let's review a little bit. We talk about the Lord Jesus Christ being our example, John 13. We talk about how Paul was an example to Timothy 3. So we understand these are all the Lord Jesus Christ supreme, the Apostle Paul, and obviously a great example. What about the generation to come? And that is important for us. How do we face this challenge? Well, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, and then in verse 12 particularly. Let no one despise your youth. The word despise is look down, hold you in contempt. You know, don't let anybody despise you, your youth. One. And the challenge is be an example to the believers. And then, of course, we have a whole string of them in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Question is, how does this work? What does it really, really mean? Okay, well, let's take a look first and foremost. When we want to look at being examples, we always have to look at the context in which we are meant to be examples. What is the context here? 1 Timothy chapter 4. It is the context of where people are going to literally depart from the faith. Well, that's what we're seeing here. Right? So when we read Hebrews chapter 6, this is an idea of how this works. People will literally depart. The word is apostasy. They will literally flee from the scriptures, from the faith that they know. They will apostatize and they will actually depart from the faith. That is our set of circumstances. Now, what is behind all these things here? Deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons. They are going to lure people away. Now, those are tough circumstances. That is a tough context. Right? So, Timothy 4, 1 and 2. I think this is important, where we forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods, and so on and so forth. Well, that is how that works. So there are places, there are situations, there are churches that will tell you, you cannot eat this, you cannot eat this, you cannot eat that. Of course, it probably won't work in Bethany. Does anybody come and tell you, you cannot eat this, you cannot eat that? None of us are going to be particularly moved. I even read a book on that says, you cannot eat yuchakwe. How does that work? Because originally it was yuchakui. So anything to do with kui, evil spirits, cannot touch. And so this person went on to talk about how we cannot eat anything that is offered. So no oranges, no pears, no pineapples, not, a whole list of these things here. And the person writes and he says, he's from Penang. He says, the Holy Spirit asked me to write all these things. And then he went on further and says, you must also be careful of Smurfs. So he said he was given a trip to hell. There is a platform gallery there. Then he saw what was in hell. And he saw many Smurfs, Papa Smurf and all the other Smurfs. You know, you have all kinds of crazy writings out there. Some of them easily laughable. Forget about it. But some of them are quite serious. And I think that was a really bad situation. I know of one person, he said he can't come to know the Lord. He used to work with as an engineer at MIT. And then he came under this teaching, you must not eat food, and then you must be gluten-free, and everything else. In 6 months, his hair turned white completely on a diet that he had. He lost so much weight, couldn't recognize him. What happened? Now, it's really a tough situation. Now, he was living in Seletar Hills. I haven't seen him around, so may not be there anymore. But that was frightening. So the context is one. We are looking at these dangerous times in which people will depart from the faith, depart from the scriptures, depart from the truth, and they're going to form their own teachings. Question, how do you help this? Now, this is where the challenge comes in. All right? So that is a context, and here is a challenge. What is the challenge? So it's not just Paul teaching. It's the next generation, the younger pastors, the younger Sunday school teachers, the others. What must you do? And the challenge is instruct the brethren. That is your challenge. The context is where people can leave the faith, people can end up giving up their trust in the Lord, and so on and so forth. What's the challenge? Teach the brethren, right? This will be an important thing. Be a good servant of Jesus Christ, a good minister. Nourish in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. This is 2 Timothy 3:10. Timothy had been carefully following. There is that challenge to be that good servant of the Lord. Right? So there is your context and there is your challenge. Now, how do we work this out? Now, this is where we have the content. How do you do it? I mean, how do you become effective in serving the Lord? How do you become really good in what you are doing? What is it that you need to have? And many people think, well, of course you need to be gifted. What happens if I'm not all that gifted? Can I still serve effectively? And this is a word of comfort to us. And there is the content of it all. Verse 12. What is the way to help people who might be caught up with wrong teachings? What is the way to help people with difficulties, with challenges? How do we help them? How do we instruct the brethren? Is it to have Bible study? Is it to have discipleship class? Is it to, have group meetings? They are helpful, but this is not the real content. How do we actually succeed? And in Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, we have this is the core of it all. Right? What is the core of it all? And the word here is the word example. What is the secret of it all? And that is important for us to take note of. Let no one despise your youth. See, that's the first problem. When a young person speaks, because they are young, the older people are not terribly impressed immediately. Obviously. How do we overcome this? And so the challenge is to be sure that no one will look down on you. How? And nobody can look down upon you simply because you are young. During this last week when I was not so well, well, what's the best thing to do when you are not well and you cannot sleep at night? Read. So I was reading the life of St. Patrick, Patrick of Ireland, you know, the patron saint of Ireland. How did he get to where he was? What was it? Now, he was living in Britain. In the early days, in the 4th, 5th century, Ireland, Scotland, Britain, they were literally enemies of each other. It's not United Kingdom. There's no kingdom. They're not united. It was a really tough time. And out of nowhere, the Irish people came in, captured many people. One of the people captured was Patrick. So what are you going to do? So he tells them, look, Britain is part of the Roman Empire. Right? And you cannot treat us Romans like that. First, they didn't understand him. Two, they laughed at him. You are now a slave. Okay? Forget what you were. You are now a slave. There is your master. What are you going to do? How do you communicate? How do you talk to the people with problems like that? You are a slave. This is a foreign land. You've lost everything you have there. And for the next few years, he was a slave in Ireland. And one day, he said, God spoke to him. Now, of course, you cannot verify any of those things here. And he says, walk out now. There will be a ship waiting for you to take you back to Britain. So, you know what he did? He just walked out of the house. He didn't know where he was going. And that, true enough, there was a ship waiting for him to take him back to Britain. And so he got back home. After a few years there, he told his parents, you know, God has called me to go to Ireland to preach the gospel to the people. They just flipped. First, you are going back to people who enslaved you. Two, you are still a young person. How can you go back? Anyway, he did manage to go back. What was the thing that stood out? He was not a theologian. He was not a person who was skilled in any particular way with reference to the teaching of the scriptures. What stood out? 1 Timothy 4:12. This was what his life was like. He said to the people, we are going to win the people by our example. So he had a group of younger people, all younger with him, and they said, let's go down there and be an example to the people. Right? Now, what did they have to fight against? The Druids. If you are Obelix and Get the figs and all the other people you read about in those comic books, then you probably get an idea of what these Druids were like. Druidism was the thing of the day in those days. These were people who believed in secret worship in the woods, all in secret knowledge, and many of them were just really bad people. How do you win the people over? And many people opposed him. Some people tried to kill him. Other people gave him trouble. What is the answer? What is astonishing is this text that came alive. Be an example to the believers. Show them. Don't just teach them. Show them what it is all about. Don't just talk about your faith. Show them in your life. And that's how Patrick became who he was. Of course, today, Ireland, St. Patrick's Day is made up of drinking beer, all in green. In New York, there is an Irish Day, and things like that. In Perth, there is an Irish pub there. And you know, there's shamrock, four-leaf clover, beer, and things like that. This has nothing to do with Patrick. The real Patrick that's there, he didn't have a whole lot to go for him, except this was his life. And to me, that was outstanding. I mean, seriously outstanding in more ways than one. Right? And so the challenge for us is to ask ourselves, how can we do this? What is the core content like? Six things are brought out. And this is to all the younger pastors as well. How do we want to do? In word. In other words, in conversation. How do you speak? And it's not easy because the language of the young is very different from the days when we all speak. The young, they cut short words, they express words which I have difficulty in understanding. Sometimes I have to understand words, so I would always ask Della, what does this word mean? At least from where you stand, from where you are coming. And it is quite different. So they use words like awesome. See, when I use the word awesome, it is something stupendous. No. It must be awesome. There are many shades of awesome. And I really, really find it very hard to understand. And language changes all the time. You got to read young people's books to understand how they use words differently. The challenge to the believer, to the person who is an example. Be an example with reference to word. Right? I love words. I'm a person who tries to learn a new word every day. So, that is something that I try to, and it's always in it. So I take quizzes as to hard words. And I never get 100%. Those words are very, very, very hard. And so they will tell me, oh, you belong to the top one-third. At least I didn't fail. But those are very, very difficult words. But, you know, words are important. Be an example in word, too. Be an example in conduct. That's pretty straightforward. Be an example in love. That's pretty straightforward, too. The challenge here is where we are asked to be an example in spirit. Now, that is not so easy. See, but that is the challenge of it all. At the end of life, it's not only what we say, but how we said it. It's not only how we lived, but how and why we lived the way we did. And the key to all these things here is in spirit. So how do we face the context of life? How do we face the whole idea of the challenges? I think that's important. You know, sometimes when I look at how Daniel tries to attend to the parents, and all that, I'm aware that there are people who have older parents. I mean, and it's very hard to live with older people. Now let's face it, and we all know it. Have you ever come across a person who is old enough and would repeat the same story many times in 10 minutes? Did I tell you that? Then I said, yes. Well, let me tell you again. And then we tell, I mean, you all are familiar with it. I see the faces and I know. The problem is, how do you cope with all these things? Sometimes we switch off. And that is not a good spirit. Right? How do we listen? Now, I listen to older people because nobody else wants to listen to them. I see the parents, I see the children, I see the grandchildren, they roll their eyes. And like, oh, you know, we heard that story before. Well, tell me again. Let me ask you, let me do it in good spirit. Let me show an interest in you. And let me be really, seriously, genuinely concerned. That is spirit. And it is very hard. And my challenge to all of us who are a little younger, and I think we really must look into this thing. You know, it gladdens the hearts of the older of the older ones when they get listened to. I mean, seriously. I mean, it's not easy as you grow older. One day, little Mary was in my home many years ago, a few years ago. And she said to me, "Kong Kong, what's that sound?" That's the last person you want to ask, "What is that sound?" I said, "What sound?" You see, that sound, see the one? Where? Tell me which direction. Then I found out what she was talking about. Now, she's too young to say anything nasty to me. But watch, as we grow older, when we have to cope with all these things, to all who are younger, try. Speak a little bit more kindly in word. Do it with really in love. Do it lovingly rather than here. Nothing is worse than when you give unhappily something. And you have to do it again and again, and you know it. And you look at the children. What monster have I brought up? But you cannot say it because that is your own child. But here is the challenge to the younger generation. Can you try? Be an example. Right? And to all who are young people and who are here, when I say young people, I mean 30, 40, over years old is called young people compared to my age. And can we do this? Let's try. And it will gladden the heart of older people like myself. Right? Just to have you pay a little bit more attention, show a little bit more love, show a little bit more faith, show a little bit more conduct, show a little bit more spirit, show a little bit more love. What is so hard about that? You know, it is this that will nourish our own faith. It is this that will nourish our own spirit. It is this that will make us far more effective rather than just teach Bible lessons. I think to me, that is important. Right? So let the older, younger ones learn. So if the older ones have not been so good and kind to you, don't worry about it. Do something different. Do something special. Teach them how we can do this by the spirit in which we do all these things. And when we can do these things here, the idea of the gift that is inside will just enhance it a little bit more. But the core of it all is actually found in verse 12. Being an example to the believers is what it's all about. See, it's not so much as we want our children to be brilliant, we want our children to be wonderful. If only our children can practice 1 Timothy 4:12. Even if they don't have all A's, it's okay because they've got This is an A for everyone. This is absolutely wonderful. So let's take on the whole idea of being an example to the level of the younger people now. Right? So we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our example. We have the Apostle Paul as the example. Here's a third generation, the Timothy generation. Can you attempt this? And if you can do this, then we are so much more certain that the Lord will continue to bless and bless wonderfully. You know, there isn't one more, when we look at children who are polite and who are, you know, it just brightens the day. I usually walk down the stairs, but because it's blocked, so I could use the lift now. But usually walk down the stairs, and I try to look at the younger ones, and some will glum like anything. Some are very, very sweet and special. And they will always be there to greet you and to give you a smile. You know, occasionally they will even say, can I help you to carry your Bible? That's one of those rare days when it's raining. But, you know, it's just so wonderful to see a younger people. And to me, they are beautiful. I never fail to tell their parents that they have wonderful, wonderful children. And it makes life so much happier. So if I have not told you yet, then you know why. That's our challenge, and I want to suggest this to all parents and to all young people. This is our challenge indeed. Take it up. Don't let the Lord Jesus Christ be our example alone. Don't let the Apostle Paul be example alone. Now the challenge, be that example. And of all the things that we need to catch, watch that spirit in which we do this thing. That is the core that we must not fail to understand. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge of reading your word. We thank you for the circumstances and the context of life, which can sometimes be very challenging and difficult. Help us to rise up to the challenge of it all. And to have it core in our whole faith and life of being an example to all the believers of what we should be. And we ask you to bless. And Lord, bless this offering that we now give. We give thanks in Jesus' name.